Monitoring my every move, I know. Thank you. Yeah, looking at Nate's annotated bibliography, and I, you know, hate to do this without him here, but you know, he did it three entries per discipline. The only thing I'd say about his is he writes a little bit too informally. For instance, and I don't want to beat him up on this, but he has an entry, Inspiring Athletes Top 30 Christian Sports Stories of 2011. And here's his second line. He says, such as Tim Tebow and him getting screwed over by the NFL, in my opinion. You see, that's a little bit too vernacular, too slang-like. You'd say, well, more appropriately, you say, well, the stories include such as Tim Tebow and his difficulty in the NFL, perhaps not being treated fairly, something like that. But trying to avoid the slang. And then another one on the one-year uncommon life daily challenge. That's Tony Dungy, Nathan Whitaker. And his first line is, hands down, one of the best devotionals I've ever read. Well, it may well be the case, but an annotation, you're not giving your sentiments about it. You're just simply describing the content. Okay, so if you could leave that part off and just simply say, you know, it's a devotional work of this quality, and, you know, approaches the material in this fashion, that kind of thing. So all I'm saying is, from his entries, he needs to formalize the writing and not make it too vernacular or too slang-like. And you don't need to be putting in, like the next one is, this one is close to my heart. Well, I appreciate that, but it doesn't need to be in an annotation. Your annotation is to be a really tight, you know, economy of words, but it needs to be descriptive of the content. Because he mentions, yeah, he grew up with Craig James's son, and Selena and all that. Well, those, I mean, that's interesting tidbits, but it doesn't belong in an annotation. Does that make sense? So, kind of unfair beating him up with him not being here to defend himself. But just, you know, I'll mention this to him. So I'll turn it to you, Caleb, and just, why don't you just tell me one of your entries and describe what the content is.
One of my entries that I found that I'd never read before, but it deals with basically the history of sports, and it was for my history portion of the sources.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember what it's called. My computer just died, so I sent it to you in an email just now. But
okay.
But basically, and it like details like the history of different sports inside mm-hmm. the book, and it talks about Christianity a lot because it's was published by a Christian book
mm-hmm.
person or whoever. And it was just really interesting to see how like a lot of the birth of some like sports, you know, were by Christian people.
Right.
You know, like the guy who invented basketball was a Christian. The guy who basically came up with the idea of baseball was a Christian, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it like it details a lot of their experience and a lot of their motivations as to why they chose to create something like they did, a competitive sport like they did, which is a big issue that I'm going to cover in my paper.
Mm-hmm.
You know, talking about competing, you know, and how you can do that and still be, you know,
yeah, and I
model of Christ. And
hear you talking, I remember I was supposed to send you a book title that I had that I failed to do that. So when your computers, you might want to shoot me an email again to remind me to do that, but I'll try to send that. But in that text, it talks about even back in the medieval period
mm-hmm.
and the formalization of some sports and comments. But it's a mixed bag because you're going back to the Greco-Roman world and you had the Greeks and the Romans participating in the games, you know,
right.
The Olympic Games and so forth. And there was a little bit of pulling away from that by the church because it was also associated with some pagan ritual cults and all that stuff. But then in medieval period, there was an encouragement to be in sport, the idea of play, which was a sense of a joyous celebration before God, that kind of thing. And so some of that mixed in there, you know, could even track back that far, showing the development of sports in Western civilization. And this book, I'm thinking of, I'll send it to you, the title of it, talks about that kind of deep history of it. So, but I think one of the key things, topics for you is this issue of competition. You know, as Christians, is it appropriate for Christians to compete? Or even in competing, what should that competition, how should that be played out? You know, is it, you know, bloodthirsty competition, or is it competition with respect? So, yeah, that'll be an interesting topic for you to have to contend with. So I was looking again at your, this is one of your earlier entries for your thesis, roughly, at least describing it, the role Christ plays in sports.
I've kind of played with it, and I've probably rewritten the first four or five pages of my paper now like three or four times. And it's changed each time.
Right.
But I think and the one I just sent to you in the email.
Okay.
I kind of want to concentrate more like the central theme of my paper. I want to be focused on like the teaching and the coaching aspect of sports, because that's what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be a teacher and a coach, and I feel like teaching and coaching are two different things, and that's that's something I'm going to explore in my paper.
Okay.
Where like, and I found a lot of sources that like include like sports psychology and the teaching and the coaching and the mental aspect of the things involved. And I think that's beneficial, but that's really what I want to focus on, because it's changed. I mean, I'm still going to talk about competition and all that kind of stuff. I mean, it's a 35-page paper. I'm going to cover a lot of stuff. But I just want that to be the central theme, like just the teaching and the coaching aspect and how.
And seeing what. Okay, so focusing in on the teaching. Through coach. Let's see. Making the distinction between coaching and teaching.
Right. I think that, you know, teaching like an individual, a person, you know, requires a lot more of like personal relationship, requires, you know, getting to know the person and helping them become a better person, helping them, you know, become more like Christ, because I'm like Christ, you know, and the coaching, you know, then follows that and helps the player become a better player and helps them become, you know, a better part of the team and stuff like that.
So would you, I know this is early on, but would you envision, so here's teaching, and then coaching overlaps with teaching, but then also has an area which does not, rather is distinctive from teaching.
Yeah.
So like two overlapping circles with an edge for coaching that's separate and apart in some manner. Okay. Well, it'd be interesting to see what you come up with that, because of the some arena in teaching, people would talk about it being coaching like to some extent, but you know, you're teaching something, you're teaching a unique thing of say competition, endurance, and so
forth,
which it extends a little bit beyond what just the classroom setting might do. So okay, so that'll help me understand where you're headed, a little bit sharper focused thesis statement. Have you, in doing the annotated bibliography, still searching for stuff? Are you feel like you're coming up with enough material?
I've found a lot actually, and I mean, I kind of knew I would. I mean, because there's been tons of things written over, you know, education and sports, and you know, and just I haven't had any trouble finding sources yet.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, since I read a lot on my own, anyways, I've come across books that I've already known that are going to help me.
Yeah. And then you need to pull in materials from kind of like educational psychology.
Right, yeah.
So, okay. To be able to clarify what distinctives there are between quote teaching and.
Yeah, I think I have several like sports psychology related sources in there.
Okay.
That I've skimmed through, and a lot of it's going to, I mean, I can use a lot of the material in there, you know, because it deals with the mental aspect and the physical aspect of the game and,
yeah,
and the body and stuff like that.
Okay. Okay. Joanna, any questions of Caleb about his paper or his approach with his bibliography? Any suggestions?
I'm sorry, I wish I was paying attention, but I was actually looking through the EBSCOhost to see if, like, what I could find right now. So I'm sorry, I wasn't paying that attention, but,
No, that's all right.
But I did hear.
No, I was just.
Interesting.
Okay. Well, let me just go ahead and turn to you then, Joanna, and ask you, just at least tell me about a couple of your entries and maybe read one of your annotations to your bibliography.
Okay, let me go back into the. Let's see. Okay, well, I was looking through EBSCOhost right now to find things on management and change, since that was kind of more my difficulty trying to find, because I can find a lot of things about worship and obviously about things in change in the Bible, but I didn't even think about looking for management and change and in my research, so that's something new. I think one of the most interesting things that I've been able to find was so far on, I'm sorry, I have my girls, they're awake. Girls, can you go downstairs, please? Thank you.
Well, they should put in because we're kind of shy on numbers this morning, so.
Yeah, they I have them downstairs. They're watching some cartoons before, until Daddy gets back. I found a few. Let me try to go back to my folder again. Oh, no, it's not here anymore. Well, I guess I have to go back and look for it. I thought I saved them on the folder in the EBSCOhost, but it's not there anymore. Strange. Well, one of the books that I found was called Worship That Changes Lives and a Multidisciplinary and Congregational Perspectives on Spiritual Transformation. I kind of wanted to also, whenever I'm talking about the worship, like speaking of also the change that people go through whenever they're listening to worship music. So that's kind of one of the things that I wanted to focus on in the worship aspect. And as far as the Bible, I wanted to really focus on how leaders manage change in different aspects from, like, one of the examples that you gave me last week was the transition from going from Moses to Joshua. I think that's one of the things I wanted to kind of discuss. And also the change from Saul to David was another thing that I also wanted to discuss. And then the biggest one is going from an Old Testament kind of view into the New Testament kind of view.
Right, right. From law to grace, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So those are the kinds of things that I wanted to focus on as far as the Bible. And then in management, in the business aspect, I haven't had very much luck, actually, like I said earlier, since I hadn't really researched it too much, trying to find something or having success in that, but I think once I really look it up, I'll be able to find a few things. Right now I did find a few that looked very interesting, talking about the management change in techniques and models, which was very interesting, that I did find, but now I can't find them because I thought I saved them on here, but I didn't. But my biggest, the thing that I've seen a lot is just like change in like location, change in, you know, changing from like one state to another state. I've also seen a couple of things changing from different countries, like from the United States to Africa. So I don't know how how, I guess that's kind of more of a culture thing. I don't know if that would really, I guess it kind of would work in my topic. But yeah, I have to kind of do a little bit more research on it.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think, again, because I think I've seen topics or titles on the management of change in the business world, because so many businesses are in flux and, you know, changing models, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. You might keep pressing that particular topic and see what that stirs up. And as well, for everybody, you know, be looking not only at book titles, also journal articles. Because a lot of times journal articles are really specific and, you know, tightly written, and can have at least pieces of it in there sometimes, can be very applicable to your topic. So be open to looking to journal articles as well as book titles.
Yeah, I had it open towards both management change in academic journals and periodicals and ebooks as well. So I guess it's good for anything that'll hit, for that. But I see some things that's like impacts of agriculture management and climate change. Then I'm like, that's not it. So I was like,
Yeah, but I think, you know, particularly with regards to, say, business or industry, I know there's materials out there written about how do you manage change, shift from one form of business to another, or markets or whatever. So I think you'll be able to find something in that.
Okay.
And then you can kind of pull some of the key aspects and see how it'd be appropriate or even descriptive of how change would occur in a church setting, changing from one form of worship to the other, because it is really truly a management issue. You know, it's a management of people to shift from one form to the other, and that happens in business all the time. So, okay. Any other entries in your annotated bibliography you want to share that you've come up with? Of course, you mentioned, you know, a couple of passages, those themes in the Bible, which would really be good. That'd be a good kind of starting point to lay those out, and then pull something in from business world, and then move towards worship. But you said you had that one text, particularly from worship.
Oh,
what was the title of that again?
Worship That Changes Lives: Multidisciplinary and Congregational Perspectives on Spiritual Transformation. I guess I really like that one because at our church where we do, we have a contemporary worship setting, and things that I hear at least once a week, if not every time that we are on the stages, we love this church because of the music. We love it. You know, the music really drew us in, and part of me is like, well, it shouldn't be the music; it should be Jesus, you know. But
right.
Also, well, whatever gets them here and keeps them here eventually will draw them closer to God. And so I know that I still struggled with that a little bit in the beginning whenever I first started hearing that. And the more I thought about it and I prayed about it to God, because my thought was, Lord, I don't want it to be about us. I want it to be about you. And and the more that happened, I started to realize that, you know, it's just a tool that God is using to bring people into the church. And once they're here and they get themselves established, then they start to learn more about Christ and how to be like him, and how, you know, we may be just a tool that he's using right now, but, you know, we shouldn't think of it as a negative thing. It's just, it should be a positive thing. So I think that's one of the things that really, that book specifically that I was reading through, it just talks about that spiritual transformation and how, you know, whenever you go into worship, you're just in a different place. You know, you start to entering through the gates of praise. You start to going into the courts of worship, and eventually go to the holy place and the holy of holies. And then you're just, you know, in the presence of God. And so, you know, going through all of that, I think it just reminded me a lot of that, you know? So that's one of the things that I really want to draw towards.
Okay. All right. Well, John, what do you, have for us for your annotation? You said you're still working on?
Yeah, I'm still working on it. Only thing I have at the moment is pretty much my my title, my thesis, and then still working on gathering my bibliography. It was a lot harder than I thought it was going to be to try to find something. You would think that my title is Using the Bible in, When Counseling in Ministry, and my thesis is it's very important to use the Bible as your ministry foundational resource when counseling people. And the one thing that I found is, especially when it was dealing with the realm of psychology, psychology seems to be more of a secular way of thinking of things, and and having a little difficulty finding resources that have counseling or psychology that's based on Bible foundation. And also how to use it when you're doing counseling in ministry. Because in my opinion, when you're in ministry, especially if you're going to be doing any kind of counseling, it's extremely important to have somewhat of a working knowledge of psychology, if not a more specific knowledge. Because some of the things that people go through, if you don't have a general idea of the way the mind works, then it may make it difficult for you when you're going through your counseling. But that's pretty much what I'm working on right now.
Yeah. Well, I think we talked earlier on that part of your approach or in part of your thesis and then content would be kind of laying out a biblical psychology. In other words, starting with Genesis, the makeup of a human being, you know, the high psychology. In other words, that we are an embodied soul or a besouled body. You know, it's, we're one thing, not two separate parts like the Greeks would think. And kind of describe the psyche, the psychology of a human being through a biblical perspective, and then show some counseling approaches and some that would match up, maybe some that wouldn't match up with scripture, and then kind of formulate a biblical counseling mode, if you will, or biblical counseling approach. And see, there was a book back in the 70s that was real popular about biblical counseling, and I know there's been some updates to that. So it, you know, specifically uses scripture to help counsel people. So in that regard, I think you shouldn't have too much difficulty finding materials. I think, though, which is a little bit more raw theological research or study, would be trying to develop a biblical foundation or biblical theology of the human psychology, if you will. But again, I would encourage all of you, but also you, John, to go to Ms. Reynolds in the library and just, you know, kind of, just, well, tell her your thesis and what you're doing and see if she can't help direct you on that. So have you got any materials yet at all, any particular bibliographic entries?
I've got the titles. I hadn't had a chance to dig into them yet.
But what are some of your titles?
Well, some of the titles I have is Psychology and the Bible, which is from Randy Alcorn with the Eternal Prospective or Perspective Ministry. And it just seemed that the title drew me into that.
And he might give you some biblical foundations for kind of a biblical psychology.
And then I have Biblical Hope with Practical Help, which is June Hunt with Hope for the Heart Ministries. And again, with the title, I kind of thought it was going to go one and one. And then the only other one I have at the moment is The Bible and Psychology by John Stoll. He's with Ask Incorporated. I did a little bit of research on him, and he has a background in ministry. He's been in the ministry, I think it said 20 or 30 years.
Yeah.
So he's got a good working knowledge of how to not only incorporate psychology with the Bible, but also how to apply it to the general public.
Yeah.
It's just sometimes
to actual counseling kids.
Right. Sometimes the one thing that I found, especially when I was in went into law enforcement, there's a whole another world that's outside the doors of your comfort of your home, and some of the things that you come in contact with put you on your toes.
Yeah.
you really got to make sure that you're on top of your game when you come across those kind of situations.
Yeah. Yeah.
But at the moment, that's the only thing.
But those are some good starting points. And what you can do is look at their bibliography in the back. I mean, because sometimes, and you'll find a case, sometimes they may refer to a book quite a bit, you know, and say, oh, well, that's a key text for them. And so go look at that reference, and maybe you can incorporate that as well. So. Okay. Any comments or thoughts about helping John on his bibliography? Or do you want to counsel him maybe?
I don't think I'm qualified.
Like, just because I'm twice your age, I spent 14 years in the military, then 3 years in law enforcement, you know, I'm not that bad.
All right.
As the doctor says, I'm not. Doctor says I'm not crazy. I'm just medicated. That's a joke, guys. Seriously.
Okay. The other item you were to have had done by class time today was to go to Verisite. And John, I know you had emailed me about it. Were you able to get linked up with that?
No. And when I did the search for it, this is what popped up.
Mm-hmm.
Verisite.
Yeah.
And then when I went to do the subscriber login, if I remember correctly, it said that we had to contact them if we didn't have an account. It said that you had to be a registered.
Yeah, and in the note here on the syllabus too, it does say that the site is in process of approval and compatibility checking may change. So I'll need to check on that. Anybody else take a look at Verisite?
Dr. Young, I can give you an update on the Verisite thing. I can give you an update on Verisite. We found that it didn't really work the way we had hoped it would, and so we're no longer pursuing that. We're trying something different now.
Oh, okay.
In the last few weeks, we made the decision not to go with them because in the trials we ran with it, it just wasn't working well. It wasn't catching the stuff it was supposed to catch and doing the things it was supposed to do very well. And so we're trying to, I think we're going to go back with turnitin.com, I think. But I don't think that's up and running just yet. So.
Okay. Well, thanks.
So this is kind of like the software for make sure that there's no plagiarism.
Right. Okay. Right. Yeah. So send you on a goose chase.
I've used turnitin.com before though, so
yeah,
that'll be.
Well, there he is.
I don't know if you got the email or not this morning.
No, I didn't. Let's see it. I'm sorry. But you're here now. And we all feel better for it.
Well, thank you.
We were just touching base about the Verisite thing.
Mm-hmm.
And Professor Hardy just informed us that decided not to use that because it wasn't working that well. So we're kind of in transition for getting an account, maybe going back to turnitin.com, so we'll keep it posted. So
I used to have to do that one a lot.
Yeah. All right. Well, Nate, it's good you showed up because beginning of class, I beat you up a little bit on your annotation, but you're the good man for turning it in, and I got a hard copy, so I congratulate you for that.
I can redo it.
Well, what I was pointing out, and it was in general for the class, was I not nice? I felt bad?
Very generous.
Yeah, he was not here, and I didn't, you know, want to pick on him, but just as an example. So I hung you up to dry as an example.
That's fine.
No, what I was commenting on is the on your annotation, just be a little bit more formal,
okay.
You know, rather than it was kind of like you talking to me rather than a formal description, because you've got, I say, like, such as Tebow and him getting screwed over by the NFL. That's a little bit more vernacular and, you know, slang-like. So I think you catch my drift, right?
Yes, I'll go back and do it.
Yeah, just kind of clean up, make it formal. And a couple of things, like you said, okay, hands down, this is, you know, one of your not the best devotional, so forth. Well, you're giving your, you know, sentiment and personal opinion, which is fine, but in an annotation, it's supposed to be really a tight economy of words and description, so you don't need to put in, you know, like personal opinions about it. You're simply saying, if someone were to pick it up, you would want them to be informed of what the content of this book is. Like the next one, you say, this one is close to my heart. Well, you know, that's good, but it's not, and you talk about being, hey, growing up with Craig James's son and that kind of thing, you know, the personal anecdote stuff. You can just leave that out and just, you know, be really attending to the content. So that's what I was pointing out. So I didn't beat you up too bad. So I was going to ask you, though, about your entries, as I've done with everybody else. Any particular works in here you feel like are really, boy, spot on for you, or it can really be a big help?
The Dungy one, mm-hmm. I know that one. The Game Day, the Craig James book.
Yeah.
He talks about it from even like a commentator's mm-hmm. perspective later in the book.
Yeah.
I can bring that one in. And one of the online ones was actually pretty good.
The Use of Prayer in Sport?
Yeah.
Okay. And and see, regarding the Bible, you've got some interesting, I remember something about this. The Christian athletes are not role models mm-hmm. in Christianity today. Yeah, that's one of the things, too, I mentioned that, you know, be sure to include in your research for sources, journal articles and so forth like that in Christianity today, not just books, but. And particularly maybe for sports, it might more likely be a lot of times journal article kinds of entries, or in some popular publications, even newspaper stuff. So. Mm-hmm. Now tell us again, though, your thesis statement.
I was thinking about it, and I think the best way I can make it is into a question.
Mm.
And it's really simple. It's just, can there be a Christian atmosphere and influence during competition?
Okay.
That's the most condensed I can make it.
Or,
well, still,
forgive me for playing with it, but because it sounds like, you know, we've discussed this a little bit, it sounds like you're saying, okay, what is the role, or is there a role of competition, athletic competition for Christians? Or can Christians participate? Or what's the relationship of Christianity and competition?
Mm-hmm.
That kind of thing, right? Because you're saying, because some people say, well, competition tends to be, you know, conquer the other person. Is that really a Christian sentiment or morality? Competition can be abusive, and, you know, those kinds of things. So trying to find how it can be that Christians can be competitive. And of course, that would be not just sports, that's business world and so forth. Can one do that and be Christianly about it, you know? Or is it counter to the faith? That's a really significant topic. I think people would benefit from reflection on that question. So how are you doing in trying to find finding sources so far?
I've pretty much got all of them that will be relevant and mm-hmm. useful. Besides the ones like straight out of the Bible.
Mm-hmm. And so how many sources do you think that is at this point?
Total, I counted them yesterday, I think it's 16 total.
Mm-hmm.
But after that, it's just so, it's not even like relevant to anything I can find.
Yeah. Well, I would shoot for a 30-page paper. I would shoot for closer to 24, 25. Mm-hmm. And so keep searching, don't close the door. But we are at the juncture, this is week 5, and that means how many more weeks? Yeah, about 8 more weeks for the papers due. That's going to come up fast.
Yeah.
And so, like you said, you've been writing and rewriting the kind of the introduction and so forth. But this next week, we'll be looking at trying to do note-taking, you know, just getting materials together for actually producing, start writing, because time is ticking down. To do a 30-page, 35-page research paper, you need to start getting the mode of writing now. And even though you might go back and change it, at least you have some pieces. You know, that's really helpful to do that. So I want to make sure everybody is clear on their thesis. I want to see your bibliography and how that's progressing. And that's open-ended. Keep searching. But we're getting close to, you need to really start cranking out some pages. You know? Not that I necessarily need to see them immediately, but I want to be encouraged that you've written 5 or 6 pages by next week. If that makes sense. So, because you need to start making a dent in it, so that you know, you're 5 weeks out and you haven't got a page written, that can start getting scary. And the danger is you try to cram it in at last and it gets a little sloppy. Didn't work as well. In fact, the challenge for you this next week coming up, this will be week 6, February 19th, organizing your notes and so forth, but the real task is I want you to come into class with, you know, you can send me an email copy, but bring in a hard copy too so we can look at it together. Everybody should have an outline of your paper. Now, there's at least 4 points, 4 Roman numerals. You're going to have the introduction, your first section, second section, third section, conclusion, so that's maybe 5. But I want you to try to get as much detail as you can, even though it might shift and change. But putting your mind in an orderly fashion with your paper in that form will help you, because then you can say, okay, I can write about this section right in here and get that piece done, or at least, you know, partially done. So next week, you know, you'll need to send me an email with attachment of your outline at least the day before the class, so I have a chance to look at it beforehand. If I don't, either I'll make a hard copy, you guys bring in hard copies, because I want us all to look together at our outlines to kind of get a feel for it. So in your outline, include a formal, tight thesis statement. So you've got that clear in your head, or we may have to rework it a little bit. And then as much of a detail of the outline, Roman numeral outline, you can. So, you know, like Roman numeral 2, you have your introduction number 1, Roman numeral 2, the first section, whatever that might be, how you're ordering the. I would, you know, you need to get A, B, C, D, and maybe a couple of 1, 2, or 3, maybe underneath 1 or 2 of the A's or the B's, you know what I'm saying? In other words, your third step in the outline. So that's getting pretty detailed on at least some sections. Towards the end, it might be a little bit thinner. I understand that. But as much as you can, try to outline the movement of your paper. Okay? And again, with the caveat that we know it'll perhaps shift and change along the way as you're developing it. So, John, we're just saying for next week, the assignment is that send me a day before class a copy of your, trying to outline your paper, and then bring a hard copy into class so we can all look at it.
Do you do
and that we're shooting for sort of Roman numeral one, you know, but then try to get to A and then maybe point one or two on at least some of them. That makes sense. Because you're going to have introduction, sections one, two, and three, and then conclusion. So you have your five main Roman numerals, roughly, and then try to break those out a little bit as much as you can. So that means you're going to have to do some reading on your sources and get some teeth, you know, to the material. Okay, so before class next week, organizing your notes and research, checking off again with your topic, your thesis, is it narrow enough? You know, can you, is it tight enough of a topic that you can really handle it in the paper, or is it going to be all over the map? You know, it's need to tighten it down a little bit, perhaps.
Does it have to be one sentence?
No, no, no. That was an exercise.
Oh, that's what's been tripping me up.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Your thesis statement could actually be
maybe two, three.
It's an issue, a statement about the issue, like a question, a statement about the question, and then potential or at least a preliminary conclusion. So it could be like three, maybe four sentences in describing what, because you're talking about your, here's the issue, here's how I'm going to go about it, and here's a possible conclusion. Does that make sense? So three, four sentences, roughly.
That's basically what I did in my paper. Like for the introduction, I just kind of built a momentum towards my thesis statement,
mm-hmm.
in the very last paragraph, which
is your thesis,
is my basically my thesis.
Right. That's a fine approach. That's good. Yeah. So yeah, I'm sorry. The single sentence idea was a exercise to get to the pointed issue. What's at hand? You know, what am I dealing with? But yeah, typically thesis will say, here's an issue or a question. I'm going to go about researching it or approaching it in this way, and that I'm proposing this possible conclusion. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, include that then with your Roman numeral outline next week. Does that make sense, Joanna?
Yes, it does make sense. I'm going to start working on it now in a little bit.
Okay. And you know, keep coming up with new sources. We'll review that together. Like, so we'll go over our outlines together next week. But then also say what new sources have you found. So come in ready to tell us about those. And on any of the items I've mentioned before that you haven't done yet, get those into me. Like the annotated bibliography, good clear thesis statement. Of course, that'll be on your outline, so I can just include it in that. And let's see. Yeah, next week I'm going to press you to say, what have you written? Okay, because I'll keep pushing it because it's for your benefit. So I get to be an ogre. Say, what? You've only written one paragraph. You need to have written four or five pages. Come on, push it. And don't just put down junk to fill up the paper or the screen, you know, really write something about the paper. I know, like with Brittany, I saw her yesterday. She said she's been writing some. Of course, I think her approach right now is writing her story, because she's using, you know, the creative writing literature side. So that's probably going to be a little bit easier for her to be writing that. But we need to be writing now, okay? Because those, my goodness, 8 weeks is really not that long. That clicked by fast. And when is our, when's spring break?
March 4 weeks. It goes through the 13th. So
it's the second week of March.
Second week of March. Okay,
whatever,
so that's probably going to be about
8
to 13th.
So I don't know if...
The 9th through the 13th.
9th through 13th. Okay, so that's just a few weeks. So.
That week's going to be right. Stuff done.
9th through the 13th.
think we have like a few days off. Like, I don't think we're playing on spring break.
Okay, so that gives us 1, 2, 3.
Oh, I'm probably around like 15 pages that week.
Three more classes for break, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
Does that sound right? Okay. Yeah, so we need to get some good work done. And how many of you envision the possibility of during spring break, as I used to call it, spring breakage, envision yourself doing some writing?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Take
advantage of the time off. And remember, as I said earlier in the semester, like the first class session, since we don't meet on Tuesdays, treat this time segment as class time for you to work on it, you know, and not just that time, but at least anchor it with that, you know. Of course, now Tuesday mornings you may sleep in, but still look for about an hour and a half to really focus on research and trying to do some writing.
I do have one question. That
sure.
It probably has already been covered prior to my question. As far as the annotation that is due, is
like today.
The format, yeah. the format on it, is it on the MLA information that we have?
Well, you would use MLA format for the bibliographic information, you know,
right.
Author, title, publisher, date, all that stuff. So you do that entry, and then down below that you write your paragraph. Something like Nate. So you just do your formal entry of the resource, and then you write a paragraph underneath.
But don't do it like that.
Don't talk about people getting screwed up.
On our outline or on our main paper, when we list the bibliography, do we need to set this in a different area or?
Oh, for the outline?
For the actual paper itself, incorporating this into the paper.
Well, you wouldn't be using the annotation part, the paragraph describing it. You wouldn't be using that, of course.
Okay.
You'd just be using the bibliographic information about author, title, that kind of stuff.
Okay.
That'd be in your bibliography. Yeah.
You'll get that today.
Okay. And again, remember on the outline, include the thesis statement, and that could be like 3-4 sentences. Okay.
Thanks, because I have to write a 10-page paper for Dr. Halen, like in between the. This paper, and like I have to present it in class.
Yeah,
for senior Bible seminar.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to present, like, I think my day is April 4th or something.
Yeah.
So I gotta get that done before.
So yeah, it's good practice and rehearsal for this one, right?
Yeah.
You should have coordinated the that material to somehow be your biblical foundation stuff for this paper.
So. I'm running over a. Romans 6, so it's I'll have a lot of research over Paul and stuff,
yeah.
Which he talks a lot about.
Yeah, Paul is the one who makes all the references to athletics,
right.
A lot, but he does some.
It's like,
and he doesn't say so negatively. It's giving an analogy or illustration, but he speaks of it, and he also says that you know, like bodily discipline is of some value. He's not discounting. He's saying it's some value, but. Even more so, spiritual discipline.
Right.
Right? So, I mean, Paul basically presents that in a positive light.
Mm-hmm.
It's when one does that only and not attending to the Spirit is the problem.
I think the source of mine was the 5 like big popular prayers.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of them is Psalm 23.
Yeah,
walks through the shadow of death,
mm-hmm.
the valley. And I'm doing my exegesis and psalms on that, so I'll probably throw some of that in there.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I mean, because you guys are seniors, you should see connection and overlap from one class to the other and materials coming together like that.
That wouldn't be plagiarism if it's my...
No, you could say the proper thing to do to cite it that this material was previously used or produced in such and such class at this date. That's just simply being above board, saying, "Yeah, I've used this in other classes." So.
Now, on the paper, the main paper itself, what you're wanting us to do in a formal pattern versus personal reflections.
The subject of counseling, you can, it's a formally written paper. But in a formally written paper, you can have self-referenced information as well.
Which does not make it like personal, like I or anything like that.
There's fudges you can use, like, you know, the present writer experienced this, okay, that kind of thing. But that whole issue of using I, there's an assignment in a class. This is an illustration I heard one time. This in a writing class, the students were assigned to write an autobiography, you know, a biography about yourself. And the students asked, "Well, can we use I?" Well, yeah, it's about you. It's an autobiography. Anyway, I mean, sometimes that rule is a little bit overly restrictive and a little bit artificial about not using self-reference. But just try to be modest in the amount of that. You know, you might have an illustration or something, but that's not inappropriate to do so.
Okay.
Any other questions you might have for possible research sources, doing the outline, working on some, or attempting some initial writing, that kind of thing? If you have your thesis pretty well in your head and fixed, I think you should be able to start writing your introduction, laying out in a larger way, maybe with an illustration or whatever, what you're going to do in the paper. Now, like with the idea of competition, you could use some negative examples about the problems of competition gone awry, and then, you know, kind of like a crescendo, raising the issue. Here's why it's a question, here's why it's a problem, and I want to show or demonstrate through the following manner that being Christian and competition are not at odds necessarily. It can be abused like anything, but does that make sense? So you could start being creative in writing your introduction to kind of lead up to what your thesis is. Okay, any other, Joanna, any questions on your part? Okay, so by Wednesday, say Wednesday night, send me an email with your attached outline. And for those in class, bring me a hard copy. And for those that, like Joanna, I'll make a hard copy for you so everybody here can look at it face to face. And we'll review each other's outline, ask questions, encourage and not criticize too harshly, and try to help each other out. But the point is, try, even if it's going to change, still try to, in your mind, lay out the whole thing as best you can. Okay? And again, I would encourage you, if you've not already, make a visit, have a point with Miss Reynolds in the library. I'm quite sure she could probably direct you and help you out with specific resources. But you need to go in with a pretty clear description with your thesis of what you're doing. Okay? All right. Well, we're ending a little bit short, but in time frame, so don't cut yourself short. If you have other questions, now's the time. But missing a few folks makes things go quicker. So, my goodness, 8 more weeks. Start feeling little beads of perspiration form on your brow.
I do have a question.
Yeah.
As far as when you're doing the main paper, according to the syllabus, roughly 10 pages per discipline. Now, as far as the size of the introduction or conclusion, do you have a preference on?
I'm not going to be the length thing. I used to have students ask me how long is the paper supposed to be, and I always said it needs to be long enough to cover the material properly, which is kind of open-ended, I know. But I'm not going to be a real stickler on, you know, the exact page length.
Right.
But the introduction, I want quality, not just length. So if it's 3 to 5 pages, that's plenty for introduction. It doesn't have to be 5 pages necessarily. But you want to do a good job of laying out the issue right? Why is this a question? Why does this need to be researched? And then on the sections, you know, Bible, like in your case, psychology, counseling, you know, you might go 11, 12 pages in one section of that and maybe only 8 in the other. I don't know. The thing is to try to be thorough within those rough confines. Okay.
And then one last question. I know that we're supposed to use our bibliography as far as our sources and things. What is your opinion as far as if we were to do an interview with a professional that's in the field?
No, I think that's appropriate, and they just cite it properly. You know, interview on this day with so-and-so and give, you know, their background, that kind of thing.
Okay.
No, I don't, you know, of course, don't make that the bulk of the paper, but that would certainly be appropriate in the content that you're dealing with. And, you know, with coaches, right. You know, you could include a snippet or two of, you know, personal anecdotes or whatever. And also to you, Joanna, with regards to worship, and, you know, like I think we mentioned, like interviewing a church that's done it successfully, maybe one that it's been a problem, and show, I mean, and kind of tease out, try to ask questions to find out what might have been some errors along the way, or what were some things you did that made it successful, that kind of stuff. So the guard against that is that an interview length can get real, it can get bulky. You know, you're just writing down what was said, and that could take up several pages. Don't make the paper the bulk of that, but try to be, from this interview, here's a couple points made that were really valuable. So you would shrink it down. You wouldn't do the whole thing, if that makes sense.
That makes sense. Yeah, that way it would help. It's going to help me because of the way that I've got my thesis wrote. That if I have someone who's been in the field and been doing things, I could add their
insights and experience
and insights.
And they probably would, if they're a professional in practice, they could probably tell you some good resources. Okay. All right, well, Caleb looks like he's raring to go, so I guess he's up and almost out of here. All right, if you have any questions of the week, shoot me an email. I think things are, well, not really slowing down entirely, but better than last week for me because I was out of town 4 days for a conference. Now I'm still catching up grading. Tongue's hanging out.
On your paper... Again, I know it's dealing with athletics, and I don't know if you maybe thought about this, but can you refresh my memory how you're going to go with the paper?
I was thinking I'd do, well, the introduction, obviously, and then start with kinesiology, kind of just figure out a way it's just tricky to. The hard part is putting kinesiology with the Bible and psychology. That stuff, to me, that comes easy. But I haven't really broken down how I'm going to do the kinesiology part.
Well, I was just thinking, though, with regards to kinesiology, it could be tied in with Paul's passages about the physical training is of some value, and go from there. You know, that the human body is not something separate and apart from who we are. It is us. We are a besouled body, and we are to take care of it, you know, and to perhaps even train it as best we can, keep it strong and healthy.
If I remember right, you had said you're basically going to, you want, what you want to do is see if there is a good tie-in with Christian athletes and competition. What I would suggest, and just if I suggest, do some research on some of the different players that have been pretty much in the media recently, like Benjamin Watson, and then Tim Tebow and things like that. And they may have something set aside, like a site or something, that gives their personal reflection. Would that be something they could use as a source?
Yeah, no, that'd be fine.
Because that, again, with, like I'm doing, that might help that. So I was just wondering about that.
Now, just don't make your paper 15-page interview. Okay. Well, again, any questions during the week, shoot me an email and see if we can help out and get your outlines done, turned in to me by Wednesday night. And we will meet again next week at this nice, bright, early time frame. And the sun's coming up earlier, so get here on time. You know, the day's getting longer. All right, you guys have a good week and do well, study hard, all that stuff.
Thank you. We'll see ya.
Take care.